You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, Rockets fans. Welcome to the weekend, and welcome back to Houston Rockets basketball, which returns tonight at home at Toyota Center against the Philadelphia 76ers. Fortunately for Houston's sake and the odds of winning the game, it appears that they will be without Joel Embiid. The Rockets, they are on a six-game winning streak, but when you're trying to overcome the 11-14 start, you'll take all the help that you can get as far as they are concerned and the ultimate final record. As always, thanks for kicking off your weekend with me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Friday morning, we are just a few hours away from the Rockets returning to the court tonight against the Sixers. It's a big game as they look to win their seventh consecutive game. That would extend their streak to a season-best seven consecutive wins if they're able to get it. Right now, they are tied for the season-best mark at six games. The Sixers are officially listing their star big man Joel Embiid as out. Now, it's possible that could change during the day, but he's missed the last six games with tendonitis in his knee, and they seem to be playing the long game, so I would doubt it. At this point, that's good news for Houston because Embiid torched them when the Sixers beat them up in January, but that was a game that the Rockets did not have Clint Capella, who is back now, and they also did not have Chris Paul in that game. So Houston clearly in a better spot, not just in terms of momentum and continuity, having won their last six in a row, but having a healthy roster. Unfortunately, it is not a fully healthy roster because we learned Thursday at practice, Kenneth Faried is out both tonight against the Sixers and Sunday in Dallas, probably Monday against the Hornets, that's back at home as well, but they'll reevaluate him Monday to see. It sounds as though the target date for his return is next Wednesday against the Warriors, which would be a two-week absence, from when the injury was first suffered, got kneed in the hip area last Wednesday against the Charlotte Hornets. Now they're officially listing it as an adductor strain. So Faried, all in all, appears to seem likely to miss at least a couple of weeks with that. The Rockets are upgrading Iman Shumpert to questionable with his calf injury. My guess is that he'll go through a pregame workout tonight, and then they'll judge accordingly based on how he responds. But for a guy who's only played in about five games since Houston acquired him at the trade deadline, they need to get all the data they can on his status. So on today's show, we're going to be looking at the injuries to both Faried and Shumpert, and we're also going to be talking about the ongoing contract stalemate with Daniel House Jr. and how that ties in particularly with the Iman Shumpert situation and the importance of evaluating him over these next few weeks. And we're going to look at this today. Tomorrow, we'll be back to game analysis. Saturday morning, we'll have a recap of whatever happens Rockets-Sixers tonight at Toyota Center. But this week, we have been so heavy with the macro-level analysis, the huge wins against Boston and Toronto. We also had Matt Thomas, Rockets PA voice and road radio play-by-play guy with Sports Talk 790. That was our Thursday show. So we've been hitting a lot of the bigger themes, Chris Paul's rejuvenation, the MVP push for James Harden. So other than noting whether guys like Faried or Shumpert, role players, not stars, but still guys who ideally would be in your rotation, other than noting whether they would play or not, we haven't gotten too much into the weeds because we've had all these bigger themes to go through. But as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball, it's our job to get into the weeds, so that's what I want to do on today's show. And we'll start with Kenneth Faried, because that's the absence that has been most noteworthy, because since signing him in January, he's been such a find for the Rockets in their front court, helping with the rebounding issue that's plagued them all season long, giving them more energy, more depth, more hustle. And in the final week before he went out to that ill-timed adductor strain, actually started playing alongside Clint Capella with the most traditional front court in terms of size, rebounding presence. Faried and Capella even started one game. Rockets wanted to collect data on that front. He was helping them in so many ways, and in a Rockets season that to this point has been largely defined by injuries, what's one more? At this point, I think Rockets fans are just thrilled that it's not to one of the big guns like Chris Paul or Clint Capella the way it has too often this year. Thankfully, only a few games to James Harden way back early in the year with a mild hamstring pull. As far as Fareed's injury, what we know, he took it when he absorbed a knee in that Charlotte game in the hip area. He stayed in the game. They actually listed him as doubtful, but didn't rule him out for the game the very next night against Miami, and they let him go through a pregame workout. So to be clear, if he was capable of playing, he would be out there. This is not an injury that I think the Rockets are being overly conservative with. It's something that is substantial because everyone is motivated. From the Rockets' standpoint, of course, the players, the coaches, the team, they know how valuable these games are. They know how difficult the schedule has been of late. They want him out there. These guys are competitors. They want to play. Beyond that, from the standpoint of Free individually, this is a guy who basically has not played much basketball the last 2 years, and he's entering a summer in which he'll become a free agent. Beyond just the competition angle, he wants to play so that he can earn his next contract. That's why he chose Houston, because he thinks it's a good fit for him to showcase his skills. So he has every financial reason to get out there. He's a competitor. He wants to play. And Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets coaches, and front office too, led by Joe Morey, they want to get more data about this Capella-Fareed front court and whether that can work. It did when they started against the Warriors. The results against the Hawks were a bit more mixed. When you look at the grand scheme, this is what the regular season is for, especially when the schedule after tonight will start to ease up with the Hornets next week. You have the one Warriors game in there, but then you've got the Suns, the Timberwolves. You're going to be looking at a lot of games other than Golden State that you're going to be pretty substantial favorites, even though Dallas is on the road on Sunday. Let's throw them in there as well, because really, since the trades they made, the Porzingis, which is not about this year with him still not playing, really, they've tailed off, and they are not nearly the threat that they were earlier in the season. So both Fareed and the Rockets have every incentive to make it work, and that's why he went out there Sunday against the Celtics, 90 minutes before the game. While it hadn't been permanently decided, the Rockets did say in Boston that the plan was for Fareed to play. Unfortunately, his leg did not respond as they had hoped. The hip, the groin, just that general area, they haven't been too precise before today with the adductor strain diagnosis about exactly what it is. The point is that they were hopeful, not even ruling him out the very next night, and he played through it for a few minutes afterward on Wednesday. I think they thought it was something minor, just a general bump or bruise, and when it didn't respond Sunday as they had hoped in Boston, that's when it became clear that it would probably take a few more days, and that's why I'm not, while disappointed, I'd like for him to be out there, I'm ultimately not that surprised by the diagnosis, and it's going to take some time. Because when a player goes through a pregame warm-up, generally they have a good idea as to whether they are going to play or not. Because the NBA, there are so many skilled athletes out there, you don't just roll out of bed and play. There's an entire routine, physically, mentally, to getting ready. And so even these guys that are game-time decisions, like Shumpert tonight, I think there's some knowledge by the player and the medical staff as to whether they think he's going to go. Now, that's not always going to play out that way. It is possible that the injury doesn't respond as they hope it would. Generally speaking, though, I think they have a good idea as to whether or not it's going to be viable for that player to play. And that's why they didn't say 100%. They were hoping that he'd be able to go Sunday in Boston. At that point, though, after whatever he went through in pregame, it was pretty clear that it was a more significant injury than they first thought. That's why when the Rockets gave the diagnosis at practice Thursday, they mentioned that he had an MRI Monday. That's the very next day after whatever happened in Boston. And at that point, the injury, it became clear that while not significant, it's more than just a few days. It's more than just a minor bump or bruise. There does appear to be a strain component to this. And for Fareed in particular, when you think of his breed of big, it's all about his quick twitch ability. So any strain to his legs, considering how much of a leaper he is in the lob game, his ability to dive on the floor, all the things that he does. This is not like the thumb to Clint Capella, where mental rust is the primary component, and physically, he's himself. This is something that can chip away at what Kenneth Fareed does best. So it's a real injury. Everybody's incentivized to get him out there as soon as they can. Unfortunately, the injury just happened to be a little bit worse than they first thought, when I think they were hoping just a couple of days off to let that bruise or whatever heal up, and then it would be fine. Ultimately, that's not what happened, and now Fareed is out. I do think that they're targeting next Wednesday because they look at these next few games. The Sixers are still tough, but without Embiid, there's a reason they lost to the Bulls on Wednesday night. They're certainly beatable. And then Dallas and Charlotte, mediocre at best. These are games I think the Rockets think they can survive without him. I think it also plays into why they re-signed Terrence Jones to another 10-day contract, so they have more depth up front. And then the Warriors game, Fareed was so valuable, both that Twin Tower lineup with Fried and Capella in that last win, even without James Harden in late February. So to me, the Rockets, they're being a little conservative maybe in delaying to Wednesday to make sure he's fresh and ready to go for that game. At this point, the Warriors, they're only 5 games in front of you in the loss column. The Rockets already secure the tiebreaker against them, and the Warriors play the Nuggets tonight. It's entirely possible they lose this game. If Golden State loses tonight and Houston wins, Houston's within 4 of Golden State, and the Rockets have the tiebreaker, and they are coming to Houston next Wednesday. All of a sudden, you could be within 1 win next Wednesday against the Warriors, getting within 2 or 3 in the loss column of Golden State. And at that point, even that is on the table with how lethargic and uninspired the Warriors' performances have been of late. So that's a big game for the Rockets. They want Fareed back. I think that's the target. And barring anything unexpected, I do think he's going to come back. However, I also don't think it's as simple as, well, the Rockets are just dilly-dallying around with something that's minor. No, I think they wanted him to play in Boston and certainly in Toronto, but when he wasn't able to go in Boston after their expectations were for him to be able to do so, it was pretty clear the injury was a bit more significant than they first thought. And if that's the case, if it flared up Sunday to where they reversed plans right before the game, then it's probably not going to heal up within 2 or 3 days to where you feel comfortable throwing him out later that same week. You're probably looking at needing 7 to 10 days, which is what it sounds like it'll be until he's ready to go. So I do think he'll be fine long term. My guess is he's back out there next Wednesday. For the next few days, though, they're going to have to survive without him. That's the most downside Rockets injury at the moment. There's one that with a little more hope, and that's Iman Shumpert, and that's what we'll get to momentarily in segment 2 of Friday's show here at Lockdown Rockets. Jumping back in to Friday's program, which is effectively our injury update episode on both Kenneth Fareed and Iman Shumpert. Fareed out for this weekend tonight against the Sixers, Sunday in Dallas. Shumpert upgraded to questionable, missing the last few games with an assortment of injuries. First, a knee situation that's been chronic. Now he's had a sore calf. I don't know if those are related. It could be just 2 random things. Perhaps there's some overcompensating with other muscles for what was going on with his knee. I'm somewhat relieved it's not the knee anymore, because that, again, is something that's been described as more of an overuse injury. He's had issues with it before, and of course, that's a very common injury to an NBA player. So if you keep having repeat issues with that, that's concerning. Hopefully this is just either an overcompensation thing, random injury, whatever it may be. But he's questionable tonight, upgraded to that. Hopefully he'll be out there. I'm sure he'll go through a workout 90 minutes before the game, and then Keith Jones and the medical staff will judge accordingly. So for Iman Shumpert, it's a rosier picture than Fareed. He seems closer to returning. The downside to it is that Fareed to this point has clearly been a better player. And the investment cost was actually higher to get Shumpert than it was Fareed. The Fareed signing in January was just a traditional buyout after the Nets let him go and the Rockets added him for a minimum salary. In the case of Shumpert, you actually gave up a first-round pick to get him here in that Brandon Knight deal. Now, that wasn't the only purpose. You did shed a year of salary with Brandon Knight. You also ducked below the luxury tax this year in large part because of that deal. So it's not all like you gave a first-round pick, and it's a late first-round pick, too. At the same time, though, it's not nothing either. They do believe in Iman Shumpert. There's a reason why they almost got him ahead of P.J. Tucker back on July 1st, 2017. He's someone that they've studied for some time. And to this point, since acquiring him in early February, he's only played in about 5 games, and when he has played, perhaps limited by injury, he has not been as impactful as they had hoped. Defensively, while solid, he hasn't been great. And on the offensive end, the real thing, he's shooting just 26% from 3, and that's not good enough to stay on the floor in this system for anything more than, say, 18 minutes or so per game. So he needs to play to build a rapport and chemistry with his new teammates. He needs to get out there. And for a Rockets rotation that's quickly assuming health, getting filled up in terms of getting towards the playoffs, we're just over a month away from the start of the playoffs around the 13th of April. Yeah, these spots, there's going to be a rotation crunch coming, and that's before we even get to Daniel House Jr., who we'll be discussing momentarily in our third segment. So for Shumpert, he needs to get out there to prove he can play. The Rockets think he can. That's part of why they wanted him 2 years ago. It wasn't just about the money. The first-round pick they gave up, it was in part because they see him as a good system fit, the 3-and-D type guy that they haven't really had since losing Trevor Ariza and Luke Bamute. And this is a Rockets squad that's been near the bottom of the league defensively all season long. So for his own sake, his teammates, learning rotations, building continuity and chemistry, all those types of things, Shumpert needs to get out there and hopefully be healthy in the process for a change. So that's a big deal. The other reason it's important is because there's about to be a key inflection point with the Daniel House Jr. negotiations, that being March 24th, the date that the G League season ends, and thus making him eligible to return to the Rockets, even if they don't convert his contract, even if there's no agreement on a new deal or they want to delay converting him until later in the season. Well, his existing two-way deal, what he's on now, the reason he's not in Houston is because he ran out of service days. Well, the service day requirement goes away once the G League season ends, and that happens on March 24th. Well, right now, we're on Friday, March 8th. That's less than 3 weeks away. That's really 2.5 weeks. So that's not much time. Really, we're talking just 16 days left until Daniel House, under his current deal, will be back up in Houston. And it's important for Shumpert to go out there in the meantime and show what he can do. Because this Rockets team, the starters, and for sake of argument, let's throw Eric Gordon into the mix as a starter. Let's say they stay with that. Well, the starters, plus Fareed, plus Austin Rivers, plus Gerald Green, plus, depending on the matchup, Nene, that's basically eight and a half players that you feel pretty good about. I know some will quibble and say there are some nights where Shumpert or House might could usurp Gerald Green, and that could be true, but I also don't think you're not going to play Green at all. There might be some that you give him a quicker hook if he's cold, but there are nights, as evidenced by Tuesday in Toronto, where Gerald Green shooting off the bench can carry you, especially if he's playing alongside Chris Paul and has CP3 to push the tempo in transition and get him better looks. So I also don't think that you're going to pull Gerald from the rotation altogether in any scenario. Maybe he gets a quicker hook. Point is, though, you're going to have a rotation crunch. And once House comes back, he will have not played, assuming it takes until March 24th, in over 2 months. Really, even if they come to an agreement before then, it'll still be 2 months. He last played in early January. So they're going to need to get him back out there, if nothing else, for the same reasons that Shumpert needs to get out there to build continuity, chemistry, all the things with his teammates. And at some point, you are going to run out of roster spots, assuming health in the regular season, certainly by the playoffs. Mike D'Antoni is not a guy who's going to play 10, 11 guys. That's ridiculous for any coach, and especially not Mike. Well, when you look at it from the Shumpert perspective, this is the period that he needs to excel, because eventually, when it comes to either taking some minutes from Gerald or taking some minutes from Daniel House down the road in the playoffs, this is his chance before House comes back to clearly have a path to minutes, at least 20 or so. Now, potentially he can earn more if he plays well, but at least there's a clear path to minutes. Once House comes back, and there's going to be a clear incentive to play House because you want to see what you have to make sure he's worth giving in the standard deal, the guaranteed one for the playoffs, you're going to need to play him. So these next 16, 17 days before House is up under his current deal, those are really big for Shumpert. He first off needs to prove that he's healthy, period, and start getting out there with his teammates the way the Rockets hoped ever since they acquired him in early February. But beyond that, I don't think there are unlimited seats on this raft. At some point, someone is going to get squeezed. And with the March 24th date rapidly approaching, Shumpert needs to take advantage of this opportunity. Can he? That's one of the little under-the-radar storylines to watch over the next two and a half weeks of Rockets basketball. But for Shumpert individually and the Rockets collectively, that's why I think, again, they're not being overly cautious with this. No, both sides have every incentive to get him back out there as soon as possible because they need to evaluate where he fits in terms of the eventual playoff rotation. Hopefully, for his sake, he plays well. He seems like a very likable guy, certainly unique in the locker room, a great quote, unique perspective, all those types of things. But he needs to get on the court. He needs to play some real basketball. And fortunately, he's closer to returning than Fareed. He's listed as questionable. My guess, considering all the incentives to start evaluating him, is that, and the Rockets do have his bird rights after the year. So if they like him, then yeah, there's a clear path to retain him long term as well. You need to start getting those data points, though, and with the House date coming up, my guess is that, assuming health, if he's able to go, he'll play, because the Rockets do need to start getting some tape beyond just general depth, more 3-and-D skills, defense, all those types of things. Beyond all of that, the Rockets just need to evaluate him, both for the playoffs this season and beyond. So if he's able to go, my expectation is that he will, because the Rockets really need to start figuring out what exactly they have in Iman Shumpert, hopefully beginning with tonight's game against the Philadelphia 76ers. Final thoughts as we close out this show on Friday, March 8th. We spent the first couple of segments talking about the two injured guys, their status, Kenneth Fareed out for the next two games for the Rockets, tonight, Friday, against the Sixers, and Sunday on the road in Dallas. Iman Shumpert, who's missed the last few games, upgraded to questionable for tonight against the Sixers. If he doesn't go tonight, unless there's a re-aggravation, I would think he's certainly likely to go by Sunday or Monday. Rockets have a back-to-back Sunday in Dallas, Monday at home against the Charlotte Hornets. And in our Shumpert segment, our second of this usual three-part show here at Locked On Rockets, we said the name Daniel House Jr. a few times, and we said it because with the Rockets' rotation, there is going to be, assuming health, knock on wood, a crunch in which they don't have unlimited rotation spots in the playoffs. And with Shumpert and House having some overlapping skill sets, definitely 3 and D to a degree, House a bit younger, more explosive, Shumpert has a longer track record, certainly more savvy intellectually in terms of his knowledge of the game as a whole, the players in the current league, especially some of the stars. And this year, he's had a longer track record of success for three, was shooting nearly 37% on high volume in Sacramento, has yet to show that in Houston. Hopefully, he'll be healthy and get a chance to make his case over the next couple of weeks. But the reason it's important for Shumpert to do that is because March 24th is the date that, at the latest, I fully expect Daniel House Jr. to be back. And if he is, the Rockets will give him playing time relatively soon to make sure, well, number one, he needs to knock off the rust, and secondly, to make sure that he is a fit for what they need in the playoffs to actually give him the guaranteed contract that they're going to have to do by the end of the season to actually make him playoff eligible. So, to answer a few questions about where we're at with Daniel House Jr., because I get them all the time on Twitter, at Ben Dubose, we're still largely at the same place we have been. This has never truly been about money, and especially not that now, because the Rockets are past the point where they could sign a guy to a guaranteed contract and have to worry about the luxury tax. They passed that on March 2nd. In other words, you can give out a fully guaranteed contract and still stay beneath the luxury tax. So the reason this goes on, it's never been about the money from the standpoint of Tillman Fertitta trying to deduct the luxury tax, and otherwise there would be a deal with Daniel House Jr. in Houston. The problem has always been about years. And I don't even think it's anyone being greedy, it's just everyone looking out for their own interest under the league's collective bargaining agreement. House wants a one-year deal because as well as he played in December and January, he thinks he'll get a decent-sized payday on the free agent market this summer. The Rockets, because on a one-year deal under the league's CBA, they don't have his bird rights. They only have the mid-level exception. They also have Kenneth Faried and Austin Rivers on one-year deals. They essentially would have no means to keep him or match those outside offers. So they want to get him 2 or 3 years. They also view it as setting a bad precedent if someone they develop through their own system, giving him a chance first on minimum deal, then the two-way contract, to then walk after just one season. They make it more analogous, and I understand where Daryl Morey is coming from, to a draft pick that they want to have the rights to for a few years, that they're rewarded for giving them a chance and developing them within their system. Effectively, it's a standoff. House wants the one-year deal, which the Rockets can unilaterally convert him to at any point and bring him back. And at this point, financially, they can do it and still stay beneath the luxury tax line. So it's not about money. No, it's about the same standoff that's driven this since January. The Rockets don't want to just sign into a one-year deal and lose him after the season. They view him as important. They want him for 2 or 3 years. So it's a standoff. And the reason it's struck out to this point, the Rockets, they went after Markieff Morris in the buyout market in early February. And I think it's clear there were at least options that they could have seen as more valuable. They at least have one guaranteed spot, probably not two, to hand out. And given the need, especially with rebounding, it seems the Rockets prioritized Markieff Morris a little bit ahead of Daniel House since they were offering him that deal in early February. And after that happened, the Rockets said, you know what, especially with the All-Star break, meaning no games for over a week, why don't we wait until March 1st to make sure that there are no guys better than House that are on the buyout market? Because if it's a one-year deal either way, and that's to this point the only thing that House, by all reports, and his agent have been willing to accept, then why would you not take all the time, make sure March 1st is the deadline for players on other teams to be bought out and still be playoff eligible, to clear up a popular misconception? Daniel House can be signed after March 1st and still be playoff eligible for the Rockets. He could be signed the last day of the year and be playoff eligible. The March 1st date in terms of playoff eligibility is only about securing buyouts from other teams. House is already your player, so that does not apply to him. He would be playoff eligible. As far as Houston's strategy with him, though, after they went after Markieff in early February, using what would have been the guaranteed salary slot that I think is currently earmarked for House, they also wanted to explore, see if anyone else they like more might come on the market. that could be an upgrade to house. There's no harm in waiting, especially if you're winning games in the interim, which they were, and over the All-Star break didn't play at all. So they're taking their time. At this point, though, I think it's clear there weren't any really shocking names, at least clearly better than Daniel House, released on the buyout market. To me, he's clearly the best player available. And even if you want to make an argument for someone else, I guess Marcin Gortat is an interesting name. But with the date passing last Saturday, March 2nd, that the Rockets could sign any player to the prorated minimum and stay beneath the luxury tax, if they were going to sign Gortat over House, I think they would have already done it. So to me, the fact that they're still playing this out, all they've done is give a second 10-day contract to Terrence Jones, it tells you that the Rockets, they're still earmarking that spot, and I agree with them at this point, based on the buyout names that are out there, I think House is the best player available, especially for their needs, 3-and-D, defense, and we know what he brought when he played well, especially in that stretch in late December, early January, when the Rockets and James Harden were really, really clicking, really their second best stretch of the year until this current one, all season long. To me, it's pretty clear that he's the guy that they're planning on adding, that guaranteed spot they do have left. And it's not about money. Again, you can give a guaranteed contract and stay beneath the tax line. So at this point, it's about bargaining. And the best trip the Rockets have at their disposal is if they wait until the final day of the regular season to convert House, all he is going to get is $17,000, which in today's NBA is basically pennies. He would be giving up a lot of money by waiting until that long. And at this point, because it has strung out until early March, that's something the Rockets can do. Now, normally you would say last day of the year, what's the point in that? Because he's not going to get any time to play before the playoffs, and you won't know what you have in him. And even if he is ready to play, he has been playing G League games and playing quite well with the Vipers, but he wouldn't have any continuity with his teammates. Well, that's where that March 24th date comes in, because when the G League season ends, he is eligible to be recalled under his current deal. So the Rockets will get over 2 weeks to evaluate him with the current Rockets. He didn't play that much with Chris Paul because of the injuries and even Clint Capella towards the end. So we'll get to see exactly what's going on with House, how he fits, how he's playing, what the chemistry is like. So that's why the whole thing, normally you would say, would a team actually wait it out that long with the player to the last day? Well, it's good leverage in theory because the player's given up a lot of money to not sign the guaranteed deal until the last day of the year. The team might not do it because of the chemistry impact. In this case, they can, because they get him back on March 21st or 24th. And at this point, with it being March 8th, and we're 2 weeks away from that, and the schedule, other than the Warriors, is actually pretty light the next couple of weeks, not too many big opponents, the Rockets, they're saying, you know what, we're this close, we'll wait, because that's the peak leverage that Houston has in terms of getting him to potentially take a 2 or 3 year deal. At this point, I think two is more likely than three. The sides are so far apart, it seems like, in terms of the one versus three, if there's a compromise, it'd probably be two. If you're Houston, if you're Daryl Morey, the biggest piece of leverage you have is that every day, every week that Daniel House Jr. waits and puts this off, then the dollar amount he gets this year goes down. In other words, if he were to agree to, say, a two-year deal now, one of the perks is that he would get more money than if he agreed to that same deal at the end of a season. The prorated figure is higher, and also, the Rockets would have more money because the earlier you do a deal, the less you're given out to the likes of Terrence Jones and whoever else you sign in the 10-day contracts, because you can only be under for 2 weeks at a time. So there's incentive, there's a case in terms of the bargaining to get House on a multi-year deal, which is what they want, so they can get at least early bird rights, some avenue to retain him long-term. Then they want to use what leverage they have at their disposal. And at this point, the biggest leverage the Rockets have is by waiting until the final day of the season to convert him. And of course, that's if he proves that it's worthwhile. He'll have to show something the last couple of weeks that it's worth adding him to the roster, that kind of stuff, and that he could potentially jump someone in the rotation, all those types of things. But if you're wanting to get him on a 2 or 3 year deal, then the best leverage that Daryl Morey has is to wait as long as possible for converting him. The only downside is that, well, in waiting, of course, you don't have him to help out your current basketball team. The good news at this point, we're at March 8th, the Rockets have been playing much better basketball. We're nearly to the two-week point in which the Rockets would be able to get him back. Sunday will be the 10th. He'll be eligible to come back on the 24th under the G League deal, under his current deal, even without converting him, which means he's still not getting more money. He would just be coming back under his existing deal. So that's the leverage for the Rockets, and at this point, it's within a couple of weeks of happening. So unless House gives in, and that could happen at any time, it's really up to House and his agent, Raymond Brothers. At this point, with us being this close to March 24th, I'm fully anticipating, unless they cave, I do think if it's a one-year deal, whether he's on a standard contract or you just keep him on the two-way, either way, you're probably going to lose him this summer, so it's advantageous to have him. He clearly makes your team a little bit better. At this point, though, you're so close to getting him back, I think the clear plan is bring him back the 24th under its existing two-way deal and then convert him to a guaranteed contract the last day of the season because that's the peak leverage. Hopefully, House and his agent will cave before then and give the Rockets at least a two-year deal. But my guess is that from Daryl Morey's perspective, they'll take that as a pleasant surprise if and when it happens. At this point, I think the plan is wait until the 24th. He'll be back and then convert him the last day of the year, assuming that he proves worth the guaranteed contract. They can do that and stay beneath the tax line. They can be 100% sure, even though it's nearly certain that Clint Capella is not going to hit both of his incentives, the rebounding rate and the free throws. We'll know officially 100% by then. Point is, as far as now, I think the Rockets have a clear plan. They're going to take the next 16 days, hopefully to evaluate Iman Shumpert before Daniel House. And then after that, they'll get House back and they'll use the last couple of weeks of the season to evaluate him. And then by the playoffs, they'll make a judgment call on Shumpert, House, where they fit in. They'll also take stock of where they are health-wise as a team, all those types of things. So hopefully something breaks before then. I think it's clear that House is the top priority. But as far as when a deal will happen, that's ultimately up to House and his agent. Hopefully he caves before then. Ultimately, I think the ball is in their court. And the Rockets, at this point, they're content to just run out the clock until the 24th, bring him back then. And for now, the next couple of weeks, unless House and his agent cave, which is always possible, I think it's unlikely. At this point, I think the odds are in favor of the stalemate scenario because House and his agent are clearly betting on themselves. They seem to be very entrenched in their strategies. So I think the Rockets will drag this out as long as they can, and they'll use the next couple of weeks to evaluate Iman Shumpert, potentially as an alternative. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see how he plays. And when I say alternative, it's not just about this season. Also, potentially evaluating Shumpert as an alternative for next season as well. Because if House is on a one-year deal, you probably wouldn't be able to keep him for the reasons we've outlined for a while. Shumpert, on the other hand, you would have his bird rights. So in terms of evaluating Shumpert versus House, it's not just potentially for the playoffs. It's also about, well, if House doesn't cave, then you may need somebody for that role next year. And given bird rights, Shumpert is going to be easier to keep around than acquiring someone new would be. So again, House, I expect him back on the 24th, next couple of weeks, assuming he's medically cleared, it's going to be all about Iman Shumpert, and hopefully he proves worthy of the opportunity. Anyway, I think that's enough talk, because later tonight, or, well, it's a weekend, so I'll wait until Saturday morning, but point is, soon enough, we'll have actual game analysis to get to as the Rockets return to the floor tonight against the Philadelphia 76ers, looking for their season-best 7th consecutive victory. Until our next show, this is where I'll leave off. If you want more content before then, best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben DuBose, and the show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, if you haven't regularly checked out our archives, please do. LockedOnRockets.com or any of your platform homes of choice, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, just search for Locked On Rockets. You can find all of our past episodes. We have some great ones this week, recapping the big wins over Boston and Toronto on Sunday and Tuesday. Then Thursday's show, our chat with Matt Thomas, the home PA voice for the Rockets, and the road radio play-by-play voice. So I thought that was really good yesterday. Also had the victorious Celtics and Raptors shows earlier in the week. Check out our archives. And also, while you're there, please leave a 5-star review and subscribe. That way you get the benefit of episodes delivered to your inbox even before I can post them on Twitter. And we get the benefit with your review of looking attractive to potential advertisers and keeping the business model rolling here at Locked On Rockets as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. So for this Friday, March 8th, this is where we'll leave you. As always, thanks so much for listening. And please come back soon. Really, this weekend, we'll have a Saturday show breaking down whatever happens with Rockets Sixers tonight. And then we'll have a Sunday evening show breaking down a bit of a matinee start, 6 p.m., when the Rockets are in Dallas taking on the hated Mavs. Whatever happens, for better or for worse, we'll have you covered right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.